Parshas Vayetzora is well known for many things. Obviously, for sheer action, you can't beat Sefer Bereishis. A lot of great stories. But one of the things which, of course, is famous, especially because there's so many psukim that are dedicated to it in Parshas Vayetzora, is the story of the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. And in that context, look at this. Unbelievable. Someone's coming? So in that context of the shidduch, I want to speak about a shidduch-related topic. And in particular, a pasuk from our parsha, which is quoted by the Rishonim as a possible source for a very important mitzvah, which is part and parcel of every single wedding, and hopefully one day will be very nogei lemaisa to you. I just mentioned parenthetically that on Sundays I teach in a particular seminary, actually Shana Bet students there, and any time I make any reference to something about their future and a shidduch or a marriage, the whole group lets out together, amen. So I don't expect that necessarily in a boys' school. I'm a traditionalist, there are still some differences. But even without the amen, so Mirz Hashem, one day you two will be standing under the chuppah, and this topic will be very practical. In the meantime, hopefully it'll just be some good halacha and some good lumbus. So the Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Zayin tells us the following. If there's a notion of Birkas Chasanim, which is what we call the Sheva Brachos, whether it's the Sheva Brachos under the chuppah, or as we know, Sheva Brachos are benching for a whole week afterward, the week of Sheva Brachos, that's base chasanim, that's said, quote-unquote, in the base chasanim. And then the Gemara introduces now a new phenomenon, which even earlier in the daf we knew about the Birkas Chasanim, but now, in this Tanya Iduch, this new Braisa, the Gemara introduces us a new phenomenon, Birkas Erusin, the base Erusin. It's not just that we make brachos at the second stage of the Nisuin, of the wedding, but even in that early stage, Kedushin slash Erusin, the Gemara says there's also a concept of brachos. Birkas Erusin, my Mubarech. What is the bracha of Birkas Erusin? So the Gemara quotes the name of Yehuda, Bracha L'Shem HaKenem HaChalam, Shereg Terzal V'Tzivanu, Al Ha'arayos, about the phenomenon known as the Arayos. Also known as Arusos, the women who are betrothed are Users, Machlokos Rishonim, it was thought by someone else, is Arusa, or is it even your own, either Rabbanon, Hizvanas Nisuas Lanu, and then if we go through the process of Nisuin, that becomes a Heter, Ay De Chubu V'Kiddushin. End of the bracha according to the first daya. The second opinion says, no, it's not enough just to say that. We also have to have a chasima. We say that, and we add to that in conclusion. We're chosen. We conclude the bracha, bracha Hashem, Mekadosh Yisrael, Ayidei Chupa, Mekidushin. So where do we get this from? How does the Gemara know there's such a concept of Birkas Erusin? That namely, Erusin, which is when the man will say to the woman, Hare At Mekudeshesli. Of course, there are three ways that you can accomplish that. That's the famous Mishnah on the opening of the Kiddushin. Our practice is Kiddushei Kesef, which is also learned out from this week's Parsha. Kicha Kicha Misay Ephron. And we have a further minhag going back for many, 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 many centuries. Not just to do any kind of Kesef, we specifically give a ring, a Taba'as. The man will say Har Mekudesh Asli. But in addition to the Maisa of doing Kiddushin, here the Gemara tells us a new halacha, which interestingly is not at all in Masechta Kiddushin. Here, that when you do Kiddushin, our Gemara teaches a new halacha. You make a bracha, Birkas Erusin. Where do we know this from? What's the source? So Tosfos quotes from the Masechta Kala Rabasi. We know there are all sorts of what they call Masechtos Ketanos. One of them is the Masechta Kala. And here Tosfos quotes it for us, right on the side of the page. And he says it comes from our parsha, it comes from Vayechai Yisara. Because after the shidduch is made by Eliezer on behalf of Yitzchak with Rivka, the Torah tells us that, if you see, I just give you the quote from Tosfos, where they say, V'yivarchu es Rivka, and they blessed Rivka. So we could read the parsha, we go do Shnai Mikra, and we could just look at it in general. You know, you give a bracha to your daughter, you know, to your sister, she's going off now to be with her husband in a new family. But the Masechta Kala understands that specifically what was going on there was Birkas Erusin. Now it's just worth pointing out for a moment, the assumption of this Gemara, that Tosfos is quoting. And that is that they're assuming that Yitzchak was Mekadesh Rivka. Which you can do. That's the second, the famous mission in the second paragraph of Kiddushin. Eish Mekadesh Bo'u B'Shluchau. It's not obvious that that's the case. Namely, it's worth noting that there are other Chazals, a Pirkei of Eliezer, that seems to imply that not only did he do Nisuin, that even Chuppah was done by Eliezer. And on the other extreme, there are from the Bali Atosfos and in the commentary on Chumash, the Das Akenim, who say no, Eliezer didn't do Nisun and Eliezer didn't do Kiddushin. After all, it's also the Kaddish Isha Ad Shirena. Yitzchak hadn't even met her yet. How could he do Kiddushin yet? Rather, Eliezer Shlichos was to be a Shadchan, to find a woman. So there was no Kiddushin there. When Yitzchak brought her, when Eliezer brings her back, Rivka back, and Yitzchak meets her, it's not written in the Pasuk, but in between the lines, you have to assume, say the Bali tells us on Chumash, that then there was a Kiddushin and a Nisuin. Now, there was no Kiddushin. So according to that, V'yivarchu just means, you know, V'yivarchu, you give your daughter a blessing, just like we would give our daughter a blessing any other time of the year. But all that is in contrast. Tosfos, however, affirmatively is quoting this, Masechta Kala says no, Yitzchak was Mekadesh Rivka, and V'yivarchu was a reference to Birkas Kiddushin. He makes reference to the fact that earlier in the Gemara, there was a pasuk from Rus, Megillas Rus, with Boaz, when the process went towards the end of the story, when he takes the 10 men from the city, and the Gemara there, the Gemara had quoted that pasuk as the source for the fact that you need a minion for Birkas Chasanim, which is the Sheva Brachos, and Tosfos points out, why do we have two psukim, this pasuk in our parsha, and the pasuk in Boaz, in Rus about Boaz? Because that pasuk is referring to Birkas Chasanim, but says Tosfos, the pasuk in our parsha is referring to Birkas Erusin. Now the Shaila is, how far do you take it? If the source of Birkas Erusin is from our parsha, does that mean that somehow this is a kind of a daraisa? Could you learn out halachos from this parsha? You say, what kind of halachos could I learn out? So Tosfos suggests, second line, maybe, we know that a woman can be miskadeshes by a shliach. But maybe, how do I know? Is it obvious that if the shliach does kiddushin, that he can make the bracha? Maybe, there's no bracha if the shliach is the one who does kiddushin. Maybe it's only if the person who's actually getting married does the kiddushin to make a bracha. So Tosfos says, well, hey, we can learn from this. If the source is Eliezer, the yavarchu is that they made a birkas kiddushin. Well, if that's the case, Eliezer is an example of Kiddushin Adei Shliach. Oh, you can learn from this. So in the end, without passing that Shaila, we would assume it would be a bracha. But leave that aside. Lemaisa, can we learn from Eliezer? Tosfos concludes, nah, Pashtei Dekra, Lo Ayri Pashtei Dekra with Birkas Erusin. It's not a bona fide limud. It's not just an asmachta. It doesn't mean that it's daraisa. It doesn't mean we can necessarily learn from the details. But an asmachta, a hint, a reference in the Torah to the notion of Birkas Erusin, is in our parsha. Okay. Good. So we've been yotzei zayin the technical effort that we make every week to try to figure out what's the connection to the parsha, to the mitzvah we're talking about. Now, we're going to leave Parshas Vayetzar now and move into just focusing on the Sefer Ketubos and Birkas Erusin. So we have this classic bracha. Again, when I was your age, I don't know if I'd ever been to maybe one. I might have been to one. I mean, I don't mean like when I was 4 with my uncle. But I don't know if I'd ever been to a wedding that I really knew what was going on when I was at your age. It's worth noting, yes, the first wedding I went to of a friend of mine, Rabbi Chaim Cohen, who got married, anyone know? Lag Va'omer of Shanabet. It's absolutely true. It is not a rumor. I know I'll never forget it. He might forget his anniversary. I won't. Because when I had negotiated with my parents for Shanabet, originally they said you can only say till Pesach. Then when I came home for Pesach, I said, Mom, you're not going to believe this. I have a friend getting married. They're like, well, is he, how old is he? I said, well, he's actually, you're older than me, but he's in my year. Really? Yeah. Where's he getting married? Chicago? I said, no, he's from Chicago. He's getting married in Israel. Really? You're going to go back in the summer? I said, no, he's getting married in Lag Ba'Omer. And I was able to convince them because it was like, wow. I said, okay, fine. You can go back until Lag Ba'Omer. So sure enough, my 2 years of Shalvim ended with Rabbi Cohen's wedding. I brought my duffel bags to the hotel and I took a cab from his wedding to the airport. So I'll never forget that particular wedding. Anyway, so Lemaisa, if you've been to weddings, or certainly you're at the age where you're going to start going to weddings in Mirtz Hashem regularly, so you know the first thing that happens when you, after everyone walks down, the first thing that actually happens is when they call to Masada Kedushin, and you have the Masada Kedushin makes the two brachos, the Baruch Pirah Gafen, and this bracha. So what I want to do is I want to spend the time we have left to focus on a very famous, an important and fundamental machlokas Rishonim, how to understand this aspect of the wedding. How do we understand this idea of the Birkas Erusin that is made in our day and age? Our minhag, of course, is under the chuppah. So there's a lot of players in this machlokas, but the two main players, the basic machlokas, relates to shitas of the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam says in verse number 2, Kol ha-makadish isha bein aide atzmo bein aide shliach. It doesn't matter if Eliezer does the wedding, if you come to your own wedding, it doesn't matter who does the kiddushin, we make a bracha. Sarach levarech kodem ha-kiddushin, hu o-shlucha, whether it's you who does the wedding, or shliach who does the wedding, we make a bracha. Achar kach, makadish, kederash mevarchin, kodem kol ha-mitzvos. Says the Rambam here, make a Birkas Erison. Now he also says that you make the bracha before you do the Kiddushin, something we're going to get back to. But what we need, what's important for us now is not that, or even the fact that the Rambam continues and says, and if you made, if you forgot to do the bracha, and you just were so excited, right, and the chassid just whips out the ring and he puts it on her fingers, and says, and the rabbi goes, I didn't do my bracha yet. So the Rambam here says it's too late. You're supposed to make the bracha before the Kiddushin, and if you didn't, it's too late. Right. Those two points of the issue of the timing, we'll try to get back to, I hope, in a few minutes. But for now, what's important for us is the Rambam says two things. Number one is he says that the bracha that we make on Erisin, the Birchas Erisin, is what kind of bracha? It is a Birchas HaMitzvah. Now that's point number one, which is obviously inextricably linked to point number two, which is the Rambam, very famously, Lishitaso, is pointing out that Kiddushin itself is a mitzvah. If I'm not mistaken, I see some of the Shana Bet guys here. Last year, on Parshas Vayisara, we spoke not about the brachos of Kiddushin, but about Kiddushin itself, and whether Kiddushin is a mitzvah. And in fact, as you remember, the Rambam in a number of places makes it clear that Kiddushin is a mitzvah. And here is one of those places. The Rambam says, L'shitaso, since Kiddushin is a mitzvah, we generally have a rule from the Gemara Masechet Pesachim that whenever you do a mitzvah, when's the bracha? Over La'asiyasin beforehand, says the Rambam, like any other mitzvah. Before you shake a lulav, you break a bracha. Before you eat a matzah, you make a bracha. And before you do Kiddushin, you make the Birkas Erisin. Very, very simple. Yes? Look at that source. Comes along the rush. And so just point out, he asked, why would you think it's not a mitzvah? And the answer is because many Rishonim think it's not a mitzvah. But you should just know the Rambam is not alone. There are many other Rishonim who agree with the Rambam. The Rivash, who we'll see in a second, and others seem to also agree that it's a Birkas HaMitzvah.
As well as Hetzer
HaMitzvah?
Huh? As well as Hetzer HaMitzvah?
So take a look at the Rush. Now if you want, I think it's either on the Shalvin website, or the YU website, or both. You can hear last year's shir, and then we'll focus on that part of what Kiddushin is, and the Hetzer issue. But for our purposes, we're just going to touch on it briefly. The Rush quotes the following discussion. It's also the Rush and the Ritva. We're going to see the Rush and the Ritva bang, 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 a number of times this year, who are constantly arguing on the Rambam. So the Rush and the Ritva basically ask a number of questions. They say, this can't be a Birchas HaMitzvah. First of all, they said, Yesh ma'akshin al nusach brochazu. Lame mevarachan ha-shek ha-shem sozuv tivanu l'kadish ha-isha. If this is really a Birchas HaMitzvah, then we just like we say, Shek ha-shem sozuv tivanu al-etzvah zhuluv. Or lahalik neshal Chanukah, so it should be a very simple bracha. Hashem Shem Sosano, lakadish is aisha. Gamarnu, that's it. Why do we have this whole convoluted, multi-layered, multi-themed reference? Aslan Saruso, Sitlan Sanesuos, Arayos, Chuppah. What's Chuppah got to do with anything? I don't need to be under a Chuppah to do confusion. What is this? This doesn't sound like a Birchas Mitzvah at all, says the Rosh. The Nusach HaBracha does not sound yet at all. Furthermore, Heicha Matziru Bracha Kadosh Mavarachan Amasha Otsuman Okarish Bracha. We don't usually make a bracha in the negative. Right? Before you do shechita, you don't make a bracha who is asr das trefa. Make a bracha on the positive, what you're doing. So what's all this Isser Arayas being mentioned? What's going on? Nearly therefore says the Rosh, ki bracha zu ain't a bracha asiyas mitzvah. It's not a bracha as a mitzvah. And you know why, says the Rosh? Because he holds, as we focused on more last year, but we'll mention it here again for obvious reasons, ki peri v'ribya ha'nekim ha-mitzvah. The mitzvah is not kiddushin, says the Rosh. Kiddushin is a hechatimsa. It's a way of being mekayim pruruvu. And it's not even the only one, as he stresses, that we spoke about last year. The Rosh says you can marry, you can have a kilagesh and also fulfill the mitzvah. Kiddushin is not a mitzvah, says the Rosh. If kiddushin isn't a mitzvah, then the bracha on kiddushin cannot be, by definition, cannot be a birchas mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. So he totally disagrees with the Rambam. So then what is this bracha for? No, it's not a mitzvah, then why make a bracha at all? So take a look down the two lines. Ubrachos of Nitkina Latay Shevach Lakarish Barku Ashakir Shav says of Yilonim and Amim that Sivada Lakadish Isham Uterson of Lo Achas Menharayos. We thank Hashem for the institution of Kiddushin. We thank Hashem for the introduction of Kiddusha into this area of our lives which is most prone to be debased. Right? You can only imagine what the Rosh would say if he's looking in 2010. Right? We know that this area of our life, there's a reason the Rambam includes the Issur HaRayos, and the Rambam has a book called Sefer Kiddusha. Right? We know that and like in everything else in life, but this is maybe the most extreme example, the opportunities for Kiddusha and the opportunities for the opposite, for Tumah, are exactly proportional. So this is an area of life where we see, it was true in the time of the Rishonim, it was time in the true of the Chumash, and we certainly see in our own eyes nowadays what's going on in the world. That's an area of life, the relationship between men and women, which can be completely debased. So we thank Hashem. We don't, it's not like Nebuch, oh, I have to listen to the Torah and do it this way. Adarabha, we thank Hashem and we thank the Torah for giving us the structure which allows us to live a normal life, but doing it in the context of Kiddusha. It's a Shevach Odah. The Rosh says so beautifully as well. Again, the Ritva in the next source, he says very clearly, Ein Brachas HaMitzvah. And what is it at the end? He says very beautifully, he gives a mashal. It's a Bracha Zu, Ein Ela Ke'ein Kiddush. Amasha Kitchanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosra Mishar Umos. Inyan Priya of the Rivya. Says the, it's just like, there's a Kiddush HaZman, where we have to make a Kiddush on Shabbos, to be Mekadosh HaZman, from Mekadosh Shabbos. And so to hear this aspect of our lives is so infused with Kiddusha, we reflect on that Kiddusha, we thank Hashem for that Kiddusha by making a bracha. That's interesting that the Rivush is a shtickle, a little bit of a hybrid, in the sense that the Rivush says very clearly, Bavadei lekichos isha v'kiddusha v'tzis asei, eino din levad. It's not just that there's a way to do it. He's clear, he agrees with the Rambam, that Kiddusha is a mitzvah. And his proof is, Shari Tiknu Babracha Kishar Mitzvos. So you see that the Rivash holds at once, on first level, that it's clearly Kiddusha is a mitzvah, and the Brachos are a Birchas Mitzvah. That's clear from the Rivash. And yet, he asks the question, which the Rambam doesn't address, but the Rosh of the Mitzvah said, well, if it's a Birchas Mitzvah, so what's all this long, multi-themed, poetic Bracha? That's not a typical Birchas Mitzvah. The Rivash says, you're right, in other words, the Rivash tries some kind of a hybrid, trying to have a cake and eat it too. On the one hand, he makes it clear it's a brachas mitzvah. What's the machayiv of the bracha? It's a brachas mitzvah. But once they had to make the nusach is a type of brachas shevach. He's kind of trying to having a little bit of both. But I would still say fundamentally he's in the camp of the Rambam. He's just trying to address the issue of Nusach. But fundamentally he agrees with the Rambam that Kiddushin is a mitzvah and therefore it requires a Birchas mitzvah. Okay, so this is the basic machlokas. And I found, I was reviewing my notes and looking for the new things today, 6, 7, maybe 8 different nafkamina, some more central than others, to this question. We won't have time to do them all. I didn't put them all on the sheet. I don't know if we'll have time to do everything I put on the sheet. But a number of very central, fundamental machloksim and nafkamina, which l'chora all stem from this underlying issue. Again, it's important. I still remember that the first few years I was a rabbi in Baltimore, we learned on our Shabbos afternoon shir the Masechta Kiddushin. And I remember I was speaking with one of my Rosh Hashivas, one of my rabbis from YU, if I remember correctly, I was speaking with Rabbi Meir Tversky before I moved to Baltimore. I remember told him that I was planning on doing Masechta Kiddushin, and I mentioned how I had this dream, I don't know if it was just pie in the sky, rabbis always have a dream, doesn't mean that it's going to translate into the people who are going to meet him, that if I would be able to learn about all the aspects of the wedding in a very significant, lumdish way, you know, unlike if, for example, you're learning the Zikin or something, where it doesn't necessarily affect your life, here, even though everyone I was speaking to primarily were married already, but everyone gets invited to weddings, I had this envision that, you know, we'll learn about the Kiddushin, and the next time someone's at a wedding, they're going to see what's going on, but all of a sudden now it'll mean something different to them. You know, the Hariyat Mekudeshesli, you know, what role does that play? It's a famous bar fair and a bigger shmuel, and all sorts of things we did in the shir over the years, not that obviously everyone always remember everything, I'm that naive, I'm not. But the dream was that somehow you go to a wedding and if you've learned about it, you've not just like the halachos, but you've learned the omek of the halachos, the whole experience will hopefully be more meaningful. So here also, whether it's for yourself, maybe one day you'll be an aide under the chuppah, it'll be your own chuppah. So give me a Birkas Erison. What is it all about? You're going to go to weddings, Tom, your friends are going to get married. Birkas Erison, what is it? You're going to hear those brachos. And each time you hear those brachos, you're going to think, Rambam in the Rosh. The Rambam in the Rosh. Is it a Birchas HaMitzvah? Is it a Birchas HaMitzvah? Is it a Mitzvah? Is it not a Mitzvah? So there are all sorts of other factors which are also related to that question. Number one, when do you do the brachas? Do you do the brachas before Kiddushin or after? This, I think, is probably the most fundamental and obvious question. So the Shiltos of Rabbi Chai Gaon in number 3 says the following. On our parsha, the Shiltos also clearly sees the story with Rivka as the source, because the Shiltos discusses Brachas Erusin in our parsha in Chai Sar, Shilta Tezayin. The Ilu Man Deboi Leminsav Itita, someone wants to marry a woman. First he does Kiddushin. Uberuche Birchas Erusin Ba'asara. He says two things. We're going to get back to the Astara thing in a few minutes. But for now, what do you see from the Shiltos? What's the order? What's the Seder HaDvarim? First Kiddushin, then the Brachos. However, go back to the Rambam. The Rambam we started with in number 2. The Rambam was very clear. Tzarech Levarech, Kodem HaKiddushin. Rambam says, no, not like the Shiltos. Rambam says, you make the Bracha before the Kiddushin. The Rosh, the Ritva, also, same thing. Look at the Rosh below, skip the Ravid for a second. The Rosh also, the Rosh says we make the brachos after. Look at the Ritva, where it's underlined, Me'ata Ru'uyahi La'omra, Achara Kiddushin. So, I'll take a question in 1 second. The Pashtus is, that this is very obviously connected to our machlokas. If you hold that the Berachas Erusin are a Berachas HaMitzvah, then when are you going to make the bracha? Beforehand, Kiderech, as the Rambam said, Kol Mitzvah Shemavarchin Aleihen over La'aziyasa. But if you hold that Berachas Erusin is only a Shevach V'Hodah, so we have many examples where there seems to be a consistent theme that Berkos Shevach V'Hodah are usually after the fact. If you want to appreciate something, first you experience it, then you can say thank you for it. It's harder to be appreciative in anticipation. You can be excited in anticipation, but to be appreciative, usually you have to experience something first. So just to give one example, and then I'll show you about here in a second, there's two brachos on the Bris Milah. There's the bracha of Asher Kedushan Sotav Tzivanu, Al HaMilah, so that's a brachos HaMitzvah. When is that done? The Moel says that, or the father, if he is the Moel, right before you do the bris. But then there's a second bracha that we make of Lachniso B'Briso Shav Mavinu, where we thank Hashem that this isn't just Tama Mitzvah, but with this Mitzvah we had a great Zechus to bring our son into the bris of Avraham Avinu. When do we make that bracha? After the bris. And that's not a bracha Mitzvah, that's a bracha Shav Hodah. So sure enough, both the Rosh and the Ritva, basically black and white, the Ritva is very clear, says not just that you make it after. The Ritva says clearly, why? She came called Bracha Shel Kedusha, a Bracha so after Shechel HaKedusha. But remember, the Ritva is going to compare it to like Shabbos. That there's a whole new phenomenon of Kedusha, analogous even to Kedusha Sazman, a new Kedusha in our lives when we get married. So just like we make Kiddush on Shabbos, not before, it is Shabbos, then we make Kiddush. Even if we make early Shabbos, but we've heard of Makabel Shabbos before we make the Kiddush. So too, says the Ritva, here there's a Kiddushin, then I make the Bracha on that Kiddushin. Or the Rosh also, Khan, the Rosh says explicitly, Ein Mavarcha Nashem Hashem L'Kan She'isha, V'kem She'in Maskir Nasiyas HaMitzvah, Ein Zarech L'Bracha 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 L'Bracha. The Rosh is explicit, he's speaking the negative, but he's just as clear. Since it's not a Bracha HaMitzvah, there's no reason to say it beforehand. And you add the Ritva. But because it is a Shevach V'Hodah, we would typically say it afterwards. Now, it is important to note, there's one wild card in this sugya. And this question, that's the Ravid. Take a look at the Ravid, right under the Shiltos. The Ravid argues with the Rambam. Omer Avram, Einanu Amrin Kein Ela Mekadesh V'Achal Tech Mavarech. The Ravid agrees with the Rosh. The Ravid agrees with the Ritva. The Ravid agrees with the Shiltos. You should do Kiddushin first, and then be Mavarech. Now, if we stop here, what would you say? What was his reason? Oh, he's a Rosh man. He must hold it as a Rosh HaVodah. But you'd be wrong if you jump to that conclusion. So look at the Ravid, he continues. But Tam Ibnei Shadavar Toloi, Badas Acherim. Im Tim Shech Laisha, Lotitza Lakabel, Hariya Brachel Vatala. Says the Ravid. Hold on one second now. Yes, I, the man, the chassan, I'm going to do the maisa of the giving the ring and the harim ha-kodesh. That's great. But if we make the bracha before that happens, what might happen? We might get ourselves into a problem. What if she says no? Then it's a bracha levatala. There's no kiddushin if she doesn't say yes. I remember when I was a kid, I had this, I got very, very excited because I was at a baseball game, and like in the middle of the seventh inning, you know, the big thing on the scoreboard, look at section 344, row 28. Ron is proposing to, you know, Sandra. And sure enough, 30,000 people are looking, and sure enough, he proposes to her, and she says yes. There's a big roar of the crowd, and you know, this happens all the time, you know, in sports, you know, they have these very popular. So at first I thought it was very cool. Then later that night, I'm trying to go to sleep. I must have been like 8 or 9 years old. I was a strange kid, apparently. Other things usually kept me up at night, but this is what kept me up that night. I said, oh my gosh, how could he do that? What if she would have said no? Wouldn't he be so embarrassed? For years I had this like back and forth. Wouldn't it be really cool? I think I'm going to get engaged in a sporting match. Ooh, what if she says no? So in the end, I grew up in two ways. One is I grew up in that I realized, even if I knew she was going to say yes, that's not for me to get engaged at a baseball game. It was game 7 in Yankee Stadium. Yesh Lodom, maybe. But, you know, it's just not, that wasn't the kind of person I was. I wasn't interested in getting married in a baseball stadium. But second of all, I also grew up and I realized, at least in our circles for sure, it is pretty much unheard of for, you know, Nebuch broken engagements to happen. I'm not making light of that. But it's not that often that you hear of a guy who proposes when he's not yet sure if she's going to say yes. Every now and then you hear about that happening actually in the secular world. Just last year, I think it was at a hockey, was it the Rangers? It was at a hockey game, and I saw it on the internet that they all of a sudden they did the same thing. This guy thought he's going to be the coolest guy. He makes an arrangement with the stadium, and they have the camera on him, and he proposes. And she was so upset, because apparently she wasn't interested, she ran out of the stadium. She started hitting him, and then she left. And never for this guy, he did it in 2010, because you know what's in 2010? YouTube. He's infamous. If he had done this 15 years ago, you know, whoever was there would have known about it, and that would have been over. But don't worry, some guy got it with a camera phone, this guy's done. Good luck next time he proposes, because he's not marrying that woman. Anyway, bottom line is, you don't usually propose. I grew up, I realized, you know, by the time I asked my wife to marry me, I knew she was going to say yes. She was surprised at the time. I tried to add a little surprise to it. But I wasn't worried about whether she was going to say yes or not by the time I asked. But Lamaisa says the Raivin. Okay, that's true. But it could happen. It could happen. And we have a klal, says the Ravid. If you ever have a mitzvah that's totally b'das acherim, you can't make a bracha because you never know. Maybe the person was... So there are other answers for the tzedakah Allen's correct, but one of the reasons the summer shonim give, if I remember correctly, the Ravid himself, why didn't he make a bracha on mitzvah tzedakah? Because also very unlikely, he'll give the money to the ani and they'll say no thank you. You don't know for sure. It could happen, 1 in 1,000,000. So what am I putting down? The Ravid is a wild card. Because on the one hand, the Ravid agrees with the rush to make the bracha after kiddushin. On the other hand, he's not because he agrees with the rush in principle. He fundamentally agrees with the Rambam that it's a birchas mitzvah. But he still holds to do it afterwards. Now, how come the Rambam says to do it beforehand? And that is our minhag. If you ever go to a wedding, you'll see they do it beforehand. So I saw some of the other shonim say, Mamash, like we're talking about, Shalom Motzi Kol Kach, that the woman's going to say no. Right? It's so unlikely that we don't have to be choshesh for it. But the Ravid was choshesh for it. Okay. So that's Nafka Mina number two. The first Nafka Mina, which we originally saw... But was the Getter Adin? Do you do it beforehand or do you do it afterwards? Number two, that's bracha. Now, what about a minion? We saw a reference by the Shiltos. Remember, we read the Shiltos in number three. We didn't focus on it, but we saw that the Shiltos says that when you get married, you make the brachas ubruchi birchas erisin be'asara. You make them with a minion. So take a look at number four. The Rush quotes this. The Rush says, "Kasser of Achai, the Birkas Erisin B'Yud," that you should do. You should need to have a minion, but you only need two witnesses. To do kiddushin, you don't need a minion. To do kiddushin, you need four people: the man or his shliach, the woman and her shliach, and two kosher witnesses. That's all you need for kiddushin. But if you want to make the brachos on the kiddushin, says the Shiltos, you need a minion for that. Then the Rush continues. Har Shmuel Hanagid Mechalik Olam argues on him. Omar she'ein sarach yod el brachas chasanim. No, for sheva brachos you need a minion. Shalohu screw yod el abok. Because that already in the Gemara it speaks about it. After all, I mentioned the makor is in the pasuk about Boaz, and the pasuk in Megillas Rus about Boaz is that he took asara, he took a minion. But for brachas eresis the shul nagid, You don't need a minyan at all. You don't need a minyan at all. V'od, hari kedushin b'fnei beis. As I mentioned, we know in general, kedushin only needs two. V'ata matzeh chasara, where did you get this idea? We're going to require 10. Says the Rosh, in light of that machlokes, v'linira divrei Rav Chai. The Rosh disagrees. I mean, the Rosh doesn't disagree. The Rosh paskins, not like Rosh Shmuel and Nagid, but rather like Rav Chai Gon. Listen, first of all, it could be that the Rosh totally disagrees with references from our parsha. It could be that he disagrees with the Tosafot we started from. But either way, says the Rosh, listen, it's true that the Gemara quoted this story about Boaz in the context of Birkas Nesuin. But Lamaisa, if Boaz and Ruth did Nesuin, what do we know they also did? Memela, they must have done Kiddushin. And the whole story is introduced by him bringing these 10 guys with him. So Mastama says the Rosh, there was a minion there too. Therefore says the Rosh, I agree with Rav Chai Gon, you need a minion for Birkas Erisin as well. Other Rishonim, other Achronim get into the act. There's a Kolbo who says you don't need it. The Yamsha Shlomo says you don't need them. However, the Meiri, the Itur that the Ritva quotes, oh, you do need Asara, seems to be a big machlokes. Shulchan Aruch, and in Eben Ezer, Simon Lamadalitz, Ivdalid, says Lacharchilot, it's good to have, but Mikra Din, we don't require it. Others are Madaik, the fact that Rambam never quotes you need a minion, so he never said you need a minion, Mustama, you don't need a minion. It's a big machlokes, yes or no. So I saw something I think is very compelling. Lomdus wasn't my original thought. I saw it actually in two places. I saw it in the Chedushim of Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, Masechta Ksuba Staff Test, it says Simon Test. And also in Rav Asher Weiss's Sefer Ram Bereishis in the Michas Asher in Simon Chav Test on our Parsha. Both Rav Asher Weiss and Rozovsky said the exact same Svara. And that is that this Machlokes is also based on our Chakira. And, to give away the story ahead of time, so to speak, you see beautifully some of the Rishonim who are clearly Lashitasa. What do I mean? Who wants to fill in the gap? How does this question of whether you need a minion or not, how does that relate to whether... Is it a Birchas a Mitzvah or is it a Birchas Chavodah? That's one Machlokes. Second Machlokes is, do you need a minion or not for the Brachos? What's the connection between those questions?
The Brachos only for not Mitzvah, they only use division four, but the Mitzvah only use four.
Two, well, exactly. Very good. The bottom line is, Rosh Rozovsky says, listen, the mitzvah does not require a minion. So if it's a bracha on the mitzvah, why would you require any more than that? However, if it's a shavach vodah, you could say, listen, just because a shavach vodah doesn't mean you need a minion. You don't have to have a minion in a bris, as far as I'm aware of. I should have checked that, but off the top of my head, as far as I know, even if you didn't have a minion, you would still say Lach Niso, as far as I know. So you don't need a minion. So you could, but certainly one could understand that if it's a Shevach V'Hodah, so then you could certainly see that, especially if it's a Shevach V'Hodah, not just for this person, especially as the Ritva said, it's on the institute, as the Rosh and the Ritva spoke about, it's on the institution of marriage. The whole structure and the whole chiddush of marriage and the kedusha that it brings to our lives, and that we were separated from the Amin by it, so there's a certain, not only is there a certain national component, but if I'm thanking and I'm praising Hashem for this new institution, the more people hear that, exactly. Well, I don't know if anyone went. I didn't see anyone went there so far. But you could just certainly. Yes, it's a good mashal. It's a good mashal. Number one. But I was going to say it's more like Rovam Hadras Melech. Or the mitzvah could be private. But if I'm not just, if I'm making a bracha on the mitzvah, that's private. But if I'm celebrating and thanking Hashem, right? There's no party. People don't come, so to speak. So if it's a bracha of Shevach V'Hodah, it makes more sense that there would be people there. And sure enough, it's not a surprise. Therefore, that the Rosh holds you need a minion, because the Rosh is Lishitasa, the Rosh is Shevach V'Hodah, or even Rabbi Chai Gon, right? Also Lishitasa, Rabbi Chai Gon says both, that you make the bracha after, and that you need a minion. Both of them make more sense, or really only make sense, if you hold the Shevach V'Hodah. If you hold the bracha as a mitzvah, you wouldn't say you make the bracha after, and you would say you necessarily need a minion. So it seems to be very, very consistent. We have a few minutes left, we started late, so I'm going to hold you for another few minutes. My fault for both, I know. I can see you're enjoying the shir so much, you don't look like you want it to end. One main point, and then I'll just tell you about number six without learning it with you. Let's just do five together. And that is the question of who makes the bracha? Who makes the Birkas Erisin? So the Rambam, going back again to the first sheet, number two, the Rambam says, Kol hamakadesh isha, v'ena adei atzim v'ena adei shliach, shach labarach kodom ha-kedushin, hu o shlucho. In other words, says the Rambam, you know who makes the bracha? Whoever did the kedushin. So in a one in a million case, where you have a shliach, okay, then the shliach will make it. But in a typical case where the chassan shows up to his own wedding, highly recommended, if the chassan shows up to his own wedding, says the Rambam beferish, the chassan makes the bracha himself. There are the Hagos Mamunios, number 5, quoted on that Rambam, says, quote, Kach Noagin Be'eretz Ma'arov, which is his way of saying Minot Sfarad, is for, like the Rambam, for the chassan to make the bracha himself. Sure enough, take a look, skip for a second to the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Kol Makadish Isha Bein Ayatu Bein Ashliach, Mavarech Hu O Ashliach. Right? Straight line from the Rambam, Minak Sfarad, Maran HaMechaber, that the Chosun should make the bracha himself. However, if you go back now to Hagos Mamunios, he continues, where it's underlined, Abba Bamalchios Elu, Hagos Mamunios is what? Those are the Hagos, the notes on the Rambam, from Chachmei Ashkenaz. Hagos Mamunios is almost always going to give you the Ashkenazic contrast to the Rambam. But from the Balei Tosfos, says Hagos Mamunios, in our lands, in Ashkenaz, Eim Akadish Mavarech El Acher. No, the Chosn doesn't make the bracha, other people do. Vichach Nogu Shein Mavarech En Ela Acher Erison. And he connects that, interestingly enough, he connects it to when? It's not the Chosn, and therefore it should be done, in his opinion, after. So our minhag, of course, is to split that difference, right? We have the rabbi making the bracha, but we make the bracha before. Hagos Mamunios will put those two together. And sure, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch had said that the chassan makes the bracha, and then the Ramah says, Yeshomrim, the Acher Mevarach V'chein Noagim. And of course, that is our minhag, that it's not the chassan, but rather it's the rabbi who does it. Interestingly, I'm not sure why it's so compelling, but with the Gra, you have to take everything he says so seriously. The Gra says, what's the proof for our minhag that the rabbi should make the bracha? From our parsha. Because the bracha that was v'yivarchu es rifka. The fact that it's in plural implies it's not just the chassan. I might be missing something, because it's still only one person who says it. So I'm not sure why that's a proof. I have to admit, I'm not sure I understand that Vilna Gaon. But I just, since he was quoting our parsha, and it's technically a parsha shir, I forgot I quoted. But sorry, in a little bit, I have to understand more of that grow. But the grow says also, like the Ramah, that our minhag is that, of course, it should be somebody else. So there's a lot of reasons given for this. Some say, shalal yivayesh, it's a complex bracha. Not every chassan is going to know the bracha. Some say that, listen, maybe he knows the bracha when he's in yeshiva, but under the chuppah, he's going to be really, really nervous. People who were at my wedding who saw pictures remember that my face was completely white as I was walking down to the chuppah. What they don't know, but my parents do, is that they also almost went white because I was squeezing their hands so tightly that they almost lost circulation. So I kind of felt bad about that all the years, like why all of a sudden did I get nervous? And then just this week, I heard a tape from Rabbi Reisman where he said about himself that walking down to his own chuppah, he almost fainted and he was so nervous. He said it's normal. I don't know how many people feel that nervous for that. I wasn't nervous until I started walking down. And once I got to the chuppah, I was also okay. But during that walk down, they were like schlepping me. So it's true, but still dramatized. But there's Rishon Macharim from Rishon Mosei. That's why. In that condition, you can then tell the bracha, you can have the chassan make a whole long complex bracha. He's going to be too tired. He's going to be too distracted. There's no way he could do it. Different reasons given. But fundamentally, it's not such a, not such a fundamental question. Until it comes to Achron, the Taz and the Tavua Shor. We don't have time to read it inside, but this is in all places in Hilchos Shechita, in Siman Aleph Yerodea, where the discussion has to do with Birchas Shechita, but it gets into a whole discussion of Erusin as well. Says the Taz, you know why our minhag is that it's not Dafka the Chosin who makes the Bracha? The Gam Shem Mevarech al Isser Arayah Shasul Kol Yisrael. Al Shevach Bahayda al Isser. Says the Taz, it's connected. If it would be a birchas mitzvah, so then we wouldn't say that one person does the mitzvah and the other person should make the bracha. You never have such a thing. I'll light candles, you make the bracha. I'll shake the lulav, you make the bracha. If it's a bracha on the mitzvah, the person who's doing the mitzvah makes the bracha. But says the Taz, that's not what's going on. That's shechita, he says, and hafrashas truma, and other things that he discusses. But when it comes to kiddushin, it's not a birchas mitzvah at all, says the Taz. It's a bracha on the institution of Kedusha and being muvdal from arayos. In other words, says the Taz, in essence, this is also a nafkamina of our chakira. Is it a brachas, a mitzvah, a brachas, a shevcha adar? So the Taz, the nafkamina is going to be who makes a bracha. And it works out beautifully because, again, you have the Rambam, l'shitaso. The Rambam says the brachas a mitzvah. Therefore, why shouldn't the chosen make the bracha itself? Going one step further, the Tevuah Shor, commenting on this Taz, says it's even further. Says the Tevuah Shor that the brachas of Erisin were not even nitkin as a chiyuv on the chosan. It's not pshat chiyuv on the chosan, but the rabbi is a shliach. Says the Tevuah Shor, because it's a shevcha hodah on the institution of marriage, who is mechuyuv in the bracha? Not the chosan. Everyone who's there. You show up to that wedding, you are mechuyiv in celebrating the institution of marriage. And you don't just celebrate it on the dance floor. You celebrate it by having one of your representatives, so to speak, the rabbi, typically, make the bracha. So it's mamash, the opposite of what we think. So to assure, it's not that the rabbi is the shliach of the chosen, he's in a certain sense, he doesn't use the word exactly, the shliach of the tzibur. As he puts it, it is those who are there, hanoadim, those who are there, who are present, who are mechuyiv. So we saw four or five nafkaminas to this question. I'm just going to leave you with the following. One of the most famous topics in all of the Erisin, we didn't even get to at all, because it's 98% not related. I only put down one little bit of it on the sheet, but you can give a whole shiur on the following question, which comes from this very famous Pnei Yoshua, who wants to know, how is it the rabbi makes a bracha, bar priyagafen, which is not really part of the Berachas Erisin, as the Pnei Yoshua points out. We read the Gemara together. The Gemara doesn't say anything about bar priyagafen. Berachas Erisin is the bracha of Al Harayos, Shekhar Shalom Sonov, etc. What is Bar Piragafen? It's not in the Gemara at all. So it's not even clear exactly when it got appended. Probably a long time ago, but still. Somehow it's an additional thing. So if that's it, it's a Birchas Hanenin. Says the Pnei Yeshua, if the Barcha of Bar Piragafen is just a Birchas Hanenin, so the rule is, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Birchas Hanenin, I can make a bracha that you can benefit from, but only if I also have the Hana. As if I make a Bar Piragafen and I have some of the drink, then you can say Amen and also have some of the drink. That's fine. But I make a Bar Piragafen and I don't drink at all, and then you can drink? So I did a bracha batala, and you drank without a bracha. There's two of us. And yet, that's what happens at every wedding. Says Pnei Yoshua, I don't understand. How is it the rabbi makes the bracha, but he doesn't drink? Chassan and Kala don't make the bracha, and they do drink. But whoever heard of that? He has a svar at the end, maybe to suggest there's a whole literature to try to defend this. And what's very interesting is there's a sub-literature which starts from the Afike Yam, the Talmud Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker, who claims that he heard from Shimcha Zelig Rieger, the Dayan of Brisk, that Reb Chaim was so choshesh for the Pnei Yoshua that when he, right before he would give the cup to the chassan and the talad to drink, he would spill a little bit of it on his hand, and that when no one was looking, he would lick his hand. That's the testimony of Reb Chaim Brisker. And every now and then you'll be at a wedding, if you're looking carefully, you'll see certain briskish types who want to do that. It's not so common even in brisker circles, because subsequently a number of tshuva svarim point out that the brisker of the Briz, never did it, and he claims he never heard such thing from his father. Moreover, today I look at Nefesh HaRav from Rav Shechter, so he says the Rav also never did it, never heard of it either. But so there are certain people who claim that it was Rav Chaim's minug, other people say not, and again the question is whether Rav Chaim did it or not, which I admit is interesting. It's a whole Lebedik sugya. What did he do, what he didn't do? He was licking his fingers, he was licking his fingers, he had a straw, he had a cup, what was he doing exactly? But aside from all that, the question is halachically, what's the answer to Pnei Yoshua's question? It could be that it's connected to our sugya, more likely it's not, but we'll have to have another shiur at some point to discuss that then. Good Shabbos.